Hello all, welcome in again to the 40K segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. We are so happy to have you back. I am your host, Vincent Morgado, and rejoining me, thank God we're back to normal, Mr. Michael Schwartz.
Good evening, everyone.
And Mr. Alexander Gonzalez.
Hello.
So we have a couple of tournaments we want to get into tonight, and then we will, of course, be going over the new nights and the updates. Alex has taken charge of that. I just want to know, Alex, we're going to throw this in right at the beginning. Is there anything we need to know other than, holy shit, the new knight looks awesome?
I mean, yeah, there is, but...
Beautiful. Lead us off.
Are we talking about that first?
We're talking about that. I'm throwing you the show. Go.
Oh, yikes. Okay. Well, I mean, for all of us who play with big robots and stuff, you know, there was the regular FAQ for Chaos Knights, but, you know, they decided to be really convenient because... with the Chaos Knights Codex, the keywords for all the Forge World Knights didn't match up at all. So they needed to make a few changes and a few adjustments. So it was super expected that there was going to be an update to Forge World Knights anyways. But they decided to just update all knights regardless of if they're Imperial or Chaos. Now the good thing is, regardless of regardless if you're a Loyalist player or a Chaos player, the changes haven't you know, they don't matter, right? And I do want to talk about some of those updates, but let's go into the FAQ for the Chaos Knights specifically. Because I feel like, you know, with FAQs, no matter the game system, no matter the codex or whatever, you know, they always have to answer some good questions, but mainly they got to ask some questions to people for people who just lack critical thinking skills and also deductive reasoning. You know, there are small changes about just specifically specifying the tyrannical court stratagem for multiple warlords, as well as one that I was disappointed in, the diabolic riff for infernal household knights, which was a enemy psyker will take a perils on any dice roll. It does say that on the book. It was FAQ'd to...
of course any, it was.
any roll of doubles, not just a one or a six. So I will not be running Infernals because that just, that's such a bummer.
That's so sad.
You got to be 12. Okay, so it's 2 CP, and it happens in your opponent's... in a phase, not a game, in a phase. And... You got to be within 12 inches of the psyker. I think that would have been a perfectly fine stratagem, you know.
For 2 CP? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they did also specify the Forsaken Damnation for your Dread Blades. You know, the Chaos Knight Codex actually makes free blades usable. I mean, when has anyone ever seen a free blade in an Imperial Knight army? I'll wait.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that.
Was a cool book, or it was a cool board game.
But all the negative effects you can get, the first one for both Imperials and Loyalists, for Chaos or Loyalists, the Chaos one is called Forsaken, but it's the exact same rule. While it applies, if you fail your leadership test, stratagem, you can't be affected by stratagems. That actually includes the reroll to avoid that leadership test.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. And then one of them, and this is one of those, it's just super funny. People just, again, critical thinking skills, you always got to improve on it, right? Because sometimes it's forgotten. But the first question is, does the points cost listed for the Knight's Despoiler, that's a normal Questorus Knight, a Games Workshop box Knight, does the points cost listed for a Knight Despoiler with a Thunderstrike Gauntlet and a Reaper Chainsword include those two pieces of war gear? The answer is no. You must pay for a Thunderstrike Gauntlet and a Reaper Chainsword in addition to the point cost listed for that unit. Now, it's not a complex points breakdown, points table for the four units that are in the book. No, my apologies. Five units that are in the book between the Despoiler, Rampager, Desecrator, Tyrant, and War Dogs, right? Five.
By the way,
units.
I just love all those names.
Yeah, you know, they're fun. They're fun. But, you know, which is still, well, actually, it's the same amount of units then for the Imperial Knight one. But when we look at that and you look at the points breakdown, it shows you everything. And then just like every codex that's existed in all of 8th edition, it tells you the points on the side, and you know there's usually a separate category for, you know, if you look at the IG Codex, there's a separate category for Creed and all the named characters, and it says points including war gear, and then there's everything else like Lehman Russes and IG and Guardsmen, and it says points not including war gear, meaning that, let's hear it, children.
You have to count the war gear.
Exactly. So there's 285 points for a standard to spoiler. The Build-A-Bear Knight, which is the same.
He made fun of me last week, and he just said it this week. I win.
It's good. It's good. It's fine. So 285 points is pretty much just a stock normal knight, both Imperial or Loyalist. How many points it just starts off as. But with a Chaos Knight, it specifically says Chaos Knight with Gallant and – like the Chaos Knight with Thunderfist and – Reaper Chainsword starts off at 305, which, like we talked about in that episode, it's very likely that when Chapter Approved rolls around, Knight Gallants are just going to be 20 points more expensive.
Which is, 20 points on a Gallant is not a deal breaker, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. The Chaos Knight list that I have built up has two Knight Gallant styles anyways, even with the point increase. Doesn't matter. They're really good and they're super spam. There's a reason why for a while when the Castellan nerf hit, you just saw like three Gallants and then like the rest of an Imperial army. There's a very good reason why that you saw that.
Cause it was good.
Cause it's good. Yeah. And then there's just some basic things about, if you replace, a relic chainsword with a normal chainsword, do you have to pay for it? And like the answer is yes, you still got to pay for it. Yeah. And then, there's just some basic questions that really don't.
Alex, you know a bunch of 12-year-olds ask those questions, right?
That's fine. But, hey, man, just, yeah. But a lot of the questions aren't really that needed. A lot of them are pretty self-evident. They're no big deal. The big changes, though, are what we were talking about at the start of this episode, or right before recording tonight. And that was the new updates to all the Forge World stuff. Now, I do want to go over both the new, Acrastus Knight, the Porphyrion style knight with the grav weapons, as well as the new War Dogs, because I'm actually all fully into the new War Dogs or the new Armiger pattern.
However, Schwartz and I agree that the War Dogs look fucking amazing. I especially like the one with some kind of new plasma weapon on it that I should know the name of.
There's actually only a lightning gun, grav weapon,
really?
a conversion beamer, and Volkite.
I guess it's not quite plasma. Fair enough.
Let's not get there yet. So there are some big things here. Now, first and foremost, everyone who already has a Forge World Knight, the good thing is, no points have changed. The Imperial and the Loyalist, they didn't have any change in the Cerastus Knight points anyways. If you got a Porphyrion Knight, if you got a Lancer, a Castigator, an Acheron, a Styx, Majera,
Atropos and the Acheron.
Atropos. Then you don't have to worry. Points have not changed, at least not yet. However, there are some big things here. Now, for everyone who had a Cerastus Knight, one of the coolest things that they had, especially with the full tilt stratagem, was that they had a flank speed, which meant those long legs were put into work. You would roll 2d6 to advance rather than 1d6. That was removed from all Cerastus Knights. So you will only ever be running 1d6 with a Cerastus Knight now. Okay. Aww. So all of them across the board lost flank speed. While retaining the same amount of points. The other thing that was big is that every single one, they had different rules, different names for the same rule. Imperial and Chaos Cerastus Knights had a rule that said in the start of your movement phase, or the start of your turn, you roll a dice, and on a 5-up, you regain a lost wound. Just one lost wound, right? On a roll of a 5-up. None of the Cerastus Knights have that anymore. So they lost 2d6 run, and they lost a 5-up.
They lost regeneration.
They lost regeneration, which doesn't make them unusable now. Here are some big changes. So we don't have to go through every single War Scroll for that because there were only very slight differences, right?
Yeah.
One of them was on the Atropos. The weapon did get a little bit more reliable. It's still 9 inches. It's strength 12, AP 4, 6 damage. When you're resolving the attack against a vehicle or a monster, you can reroll the wound roll. I believe it was just previously against Titanic. And that also goes for close combat weapons. With Mechanicus-style knights, like the Cerastus and the Styx and the Majera, a big change happened. Their ionic flare shields used to be I think they actually used to be just a 4-up in roll or whatever. Or they could take oncoming damage a little easier. Now all of them, the Ionic Flare Shield on, again, the Cerastus Atropos, the Majera, and the Styx, they now are just a flat, this model has a 5-up invulnerable save, which is good because that is not an Ion Shield. Those are Ion and Flare Shields, which means the Atropos lost its 4-up against ranged weapons, 5-up in close combat, but now it just has a 5-up in close combat and you don't have to worry about... Right. You know, say having to, you know, jump into close combat and not have an invul and just get nuked by something. So, you know, that's good. All three of those knights just can be, regardless of whether in combat or out of combat, they're going to have a 5-up. Another thing that's a big change is the Knight Lancer. The Knight Lancer's weapon is, you know, typically strength plus 6, minus 4, 6 damage. Now, if it makes a charge... the strength characteristic is times 2, and the damage characteristic is 8 if he made a charge that turn. So that's on a loyalist knight, that's 4 attacks. On a chaos knight, that's anywhere from 4 to like 10 attacks.
Yeah.
At strength 16, minus 4, flat 6 damage. So
8 damage. 8 damage.
8 wow. damage. Oh, my apologies. Yeah, that would be a lot.
That would be 4. You'd 4 tap.
Yeah, you'd 4 tap.
And especially against a lot of things that don't have invuls in close combat. And the Cerastus is fucking cheap comparatively.
So you just charge him into, if you have a Chaos version, you charge him in and you give him the Cornate Relic. You charge him into, say, Mortarion, and you do like 36 damage to him and just go, sweet, you have Disgusting Resilient, roll 36 dice.
I mean,
shake their hand and be like, Godspeed.
So I'm just looking at this. A Cerastus Knight Lancer is not a terrible deal if you want just a Knight Sniper in close combat. Because you were mentioning the Ion Shields, that the changes in a couple of the Ion Shields. I'm going to refresh everybody on the Lancers is a little different as well. It's called the Ion Gauntlet Shield. It has a standing 5-up. And then against melee weapons, it increases to a 4-up. And then you also subtract 1 for any melee attack to hit for melee attacks that by other Titanic units that target the Lancer. So if you're going after any knight, Morty, Magnus, or the Hyrule, or pick your favorite, whatever else, the Lancer's got pretty good odds of hitting it, killing it in one roll, like one set. And then just moving on to the next guy. And he's only, 50? Well, hang on. Let's double check. I think it after upgrades, it's like 450 points. If you kill one Gallant outright and then have another one, that's worth it. You've paid for yourself.
Yeah. You know, he's pretty great. But again, you know, in the world of not knowing who you're going to play, if you fight against Swarm Orcs or whatever, this is like, not all that great, right?
Still okay just for holding up the mob, because he will eat those claw attacks that a regular knight can't.
So here's the thing, though. There is something better, which leads me on to one of the biggest changes and one of my favorites. I'm not a huge fan of the model, but I'd be lying to you guys if I said that it wasn't in my if it wasn't in my cart on the Forge World site.
Is that the fantasy cart or the I might buy it one day cart?
This is the wish list, okay. But like,
just double check.
I could probably pull it off. I just, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
And that's actually one of the first Cerastus Knight to ever come out. Castigator. Yeah. Now, the Castigator has actually seen some big changes. All of its weapons except for Titanic Feet actually saw it change. He's got, just like every other knight, Cerastus Knight, he's got, you know, 14-inch move, Jesus. 4 attacks, 27 wounds, the 3-up, 5-up. However, the Castigator Bolt Cannon is 36 inches, heavy 16, strength 6, AP 2, 2 damage. Previously, it was heavy 14, so you actually got 2 extra attacks. So that's pretty convenient in, say, a Chaos Knight army when you can do a stratagem or a relic for a special weapon, and it only affects one weapon. So like on a double Gat Knight, you could make it +1 AP, +1 damage to be damage 3 and AP 3, but it only affects one weapon. So that's only 12 of the 24 shots. So having this be a 16-inch gun, well, he's a perfect candidate for that strategy.
Right, because he also has no upgrade options.
Exactly. And then there's the Tempest Warblade, that big, weird, funky, ugly Warblade that they somehow have at the end of the Castigator.
It breaks anytime you look at it wrong.
Oh, yeah, for sure. you blow on it. Stiff breeze kind of situation. However, you know, previously the Tempestus Warblade was strength plus 6, AP 3. It was originally 5 damage, and on a 6 to wound, you would cause D3 mortal wounds against, I believe, vehicles or monsters. Now it is strength plus 6, AP 3, 3 damage, so it did lose 2 damage, but you make 2 hit rolls for this for attacks of this weapon instead of 1, meaning that since he starts off at since he has 4 attacks, when he's in close combat and he's utilizing that Tempestus Warblade instead, he is now strength 14, 3 damage, minus AP 3, with a total of 8 attacks. And again,
wait, you mean Chaos 16 Knights, attacks?
You can easily make them, you know, up to 18 attacks with the Tempestus Warblade.
Oh, a lot of attacks.
Or Tempest Blade. Right.
Jesus.
So, no, you can make them a lot of attacks. So you can give them the ability okay. where if they're in their opponent's deployment zone, they are plus 1 attack. You then are iconoclast, so you're always plus 1 attack. You're up to 6 right now. You have the ability to there are a few different ways. I don't want to go through.
Yeah, without talking through the whole combo that you'll have to list build terrifying. For. Let's just say that you can throw out a heap and helping of Tempestus Warblade.
Exactly. So there were, so really there's a lot. So you lost some stuff and you gained some stuff. So really, if you got an Acheron, if you have an Atropos, you're probably not very happy right now. If you had a Majera and or a Styx, you're probably a 30K player anyway, so you don't really care. I'm just being honest. But the cool thing is there are 2 new model, or technically 2 data slaves. That can be quite a bit of things. And Vince, I think you wanted to go through the big boy first.
The Asterius is the one that I was kind of looking at, if I can get my PDF to agree with me for 30 seconds. Me and Schwartz were looking at the twin conversion beam cannon, which is the most ludicrous weapon pile I've ever seen in a world where strength D no longer exists. It's got 3 firing modes, range 0 to 24 is the heavy 2d3, strength 12, minus 1 rend, AP rend, damage.
Yeah. Chris, real quick. Let's just specify for everyone that for the conversion beamer, it's always 2d3 shots.
Okay, that's fine. I'm perfectly willing to let you say that. We'll cut that out. Everything is 2d3 shots in what I'm about to mention, and then we'll talk about something else, another gun in a second. Mid range is strength 14, minus 2 AP, damage 4, and then the range you want to be using this thing at, long range 48 to 72, strength 16. So you're wounding knights on 2s, you're wounding just about everything in the game on 2s, and minus 3 AP, damage 6. So if my head math is correct, you could technically get 36 damage in a round with this thing, with just that gun.
You could.
It also comes with 2 weapons that I don't think have been in 40K before. One of them is the Karaknos Mortar Battery. Range 60, heavy 3d3, strength 5. It's essentially a heavy bolter. But it is a weapon that can target units that are not visible, and they wound everything on a 2+ unless it's a vehicle or a Titanic unit. The target does not ever receive the benefit of cover. So that's pretty brutal. The strength 5 is not great, but wounding everything on 2s is kind of ridiculous. I'm just trying to think of the number of monsters in the game that aren't Titanic that are technically bigger than some Titanic units.
It's only 1 damage.
It is only 1 damage, but 3d3 shots is not a joke. I mean, 6 or 7 wounds is possible. If they without cover, they might have a whack save. I mean, it's This is a side weapon. You're looking at the conversion beam cannons. By the way, there's 2 of them. is kind of the real damage dealer. Then you've got the Volkite Culverin for the Horus Heres, the 30k fans out there. I don't know if it's changed at all. Range 45, which is weird. Heavy 4, strength 6, damage 2, no AP, and it inflicts a mortal wound on every unmodified wound roll of a 6. It's also got 30 wounds.
Well, that's the same thing for all the
but it is base weapon skill same 4 instead seven. Of the normal 3. So you are a little bit shittier in close combat.
Yeah. Yeah. I like some of this.
I like the mortar battery a lot. Because, I mean,
I don't.
Well, you're not really shooting it. It's a weapon of last resort against monsters, but it does give your big, you know, let's be real, probably 800 points after you build it out. It'd be kind of stupid if it couldn't hit something, you know, like a squad of guardsmen or nurglings behind cover.
That's true, but I mean, I was expecting the like the other Acrastis Knight, the Perforion, who has either an Ironstorm missile pod, which is like a normal Knight Ironstorm missile pod, or the ability to have a Helios defense missiles, which were the 2-shot strength 8, AP minus 2, 3 damage, and plus 1 to hit against fly. So I was expecting him to have some anti-air, because that would be real, real fun.
Yeah, I mean, the Helios defense missile is pretty ridiculous against flyers, but frankly, the model, the Porphyrion model is so rare, it just hasn't, it's just not a dent in the meta, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, you know, the good thing is that there is something that I think is going to affect.
Say
that,
is this us cutting to the War Dogs?
I think, or specifically Armiger Pattern Moriax or War Dog Moriax.
I'll go with that. Yeah, why not?
I think it's like Moira. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's Moira.
Go ahead. You want to do it or can I?
You go. Go ahead. Right. Go ahead, and then I'll tell you some things that I built.
That's what I like to hear. So the model comes with it's like all the other Armigers, I think, in that it's strength 6, toughness 7, 12 wounds, 4 attacks base, leadership 8 with a 3 up. It has the same ion shield as the other ones. It has the protection protocols that I think the other Armigers have as well. It's treated as a squadron for deployment. None of them suffer a penalty for moving and firing heavy weapons, which I don't believe is normal. I think normally only
no, that's normal. It is. That's normal. I mean, they call them Morax stabilizers, but both Warglaives and Helverins have. You know what? I'm actually going to have to double check.
I was going
to
double check because I think I remember looking at some of the original Armigers and being a little upset that you were hitting it with on fours with their auto cannons.
Think about this.
But once Alex double checks that.
Wait, you know what? I don't have my iPad with me.
Schwartz, you know everything. While Schwartz looks that up, we're going to keep going on the weapons for the Moirax. That is going to be hard for me to say. It has its own version of a conversion beam cannon with 3 ranges, all D3 shots. Short range is strength 6, damage 2, no AP. Mid range, strength 8, minus 1 AP, 3 damage. And then again, the range you want to be using, long, which is strength 10, minus 2 AP, and damage 4. Of course they put it on the actual weapon instead of putting it in the abilities just to piss me off.
Yeah.
Hold on. You're right. Because then, yeah, when you move a Helverin, you can shoot the auto cannons fine, but you're minus 1, I think, with the stubborn.
Wow. Because, you know, that minus 1 on the stubborn is going to really make a difference. Another weapon on the another weapon is called the Graviton Pulsar, which you can swap it out instead of your... I cannot say that word. I'm going with Vugler.
You're welcome.
Schwartz, you speak French. That looks vaguely French. If you had to, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, real quick, Vince, we should go down with what you can replace what with afterwards, just because it actually gets a little tricky there.
Well, okay. I was going to just name what could be replaced as I went with each gun.
Well, you can edit this part out. It actually isn't all the same. You can pick or you. Okay, cool. As long as you're there.
I was reading that while you were, anyway, The Graviton Pulsar is heavy, range 24, heavy D6, strength 6, minus 3 AP, damage 2. So there's your Terminator killer. When resolving an attack made with this weapon against a unit with a save characteristic of 3 or better, this has a damage characteristic of 4, not 2. So I hate custodes. Congratulations. Have a Moirex. Next up is a lightning lock, which can be replaced with, which can replace the Volkite. I'm not saying it again. Range 36, heavy 6, strength 6, AP 2, 1 damage, but an unmodified roll of 6 for an attack made using that weapon scores 2 additional hits. Alex, there's your Necron gun. Yeah. Then Rad Cleanser. I have not seen this before. Range 9, assault DC. It's a flamer, I think. Assault D6, strength 2, no AP, damage 3. When resolving an attack made with this weapon, do not make a hit roll. It automatically hits. Attacks made with this weapon wound on a 2+, unless the target is a vehicle or Titan.
Take some Chernobyl, yes. Bitches.
Yes. Yes, they are. And actually, this is a 30K weapon. The Majera and the Styx both have these, and they're like all over 30K ad mech. I'm just going to say that.
Oh my god!
You know, it would be just for a theme. If you went for like an all rad theme, it'd be really cool with a whole bunch of the Skitarii Vanguard. Then the Volkite Vugler, range 36, heavy 5, strength 6, minus 1 AP, damage 2. Each time an unmodified wound roll of 6 is made for an attack with this weapon, that attack inflicts a mortal wound in addition to normal damage. And then the Moirex Siege Claw. Melee doubles your strength, so strength 12, minus 3 AP, damage D6. You subtract 1 from the hit roll, but you add 2 for the damage against vehicles or Titanic units. Yep. So technically, if you're going after it, it allows it to punch up, basically, is the way I would say it. It allows the Moirex to be a little bit more effective against, you know, Gallants and some of the new ones. Because that D6 can really break your heart, but the ability to do up to 8 damage in one attack, you're hoping you're kind of going to even out there. We will talk about what can be replaced with what. This gets, like Alex said, this gets complicated. The Volkite, I'm not saying it. The Volkite weapon can be replaced with a Siege Claw and a Rad Cleanser, a Beam Cannon, a Graviton Pulsar, or a Lightning Lock. And the Rad Cleanser and Claw can be replaced with the exact opposite. The Volkite, the Graviton Pulsar, and the Lightning Lock. I'm going to try to summarize this because that's complicated. You can either have a Daka Moirex or you can have a Claw and Flamer Moirex. Alex, is that about right?
I mean, yeah, kind of. You can replace the Claw with every weapon except for a Conversion Beamer. And then you can replace the Volkite weapon with every weapon you can replace the Volkite weapon with anything listed previously.
But you could go double Rad Cleanser, double Siege Claw, right?
Yes, oh, there yes. You go. And you cannot replace the Siege Claw with another Conversion Beamer. So you can be double any of the weapons listed before, except for the Conversion Beamer, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because that would be kind of dirty.
Only sad thing is, unlike almost everything traditionally in 40K, when you have double combat weapons, you don't get an extra attack.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, it's actually the cheapest option. Both the claws and the rad cleansers that are inbuilt are 0 points. So these are armor group had knights that are coming in at a whopping 145
points.
Holy shit! Yes. So, and you think about it, actually, the protection, the ability that they have is protection protocols, which is actually really helpful. While they're within 6 inches of any of the Titanic knight models, they can perform a heroic intervention as if they were a character. And then when doing so, they move 6 inches instead of 3, which is huge things on these guys. If anything, then a distraction. So they're 145 points. They have 2 9-inch flamers that do 2 damage. And if someone goes, oh man, well I got a bunch of veterans I can pop out and try to kill them with because I don't know, I want to tie them up because they can't retreat and charge like Titanic Knights. Great, well take 2d6 rad weapons that are 2 damage each.
Yeah, their strength 2 damage.
Oh my god. Dude, yeah, it's and they're 9 inches.
So what? Oh, hey, I can be 9 inches away. Right? Great. Well, I'm an inch longer than a normal flamer. So you're
getting there. Hey, man, inches matter.
All right. My apologies. Yeah.
No, because you have to be outside.
I'm not talking about you deep striking Moirax. I'm talking about people trying to assault it, because typical strategy is to get out of your range.
I don't know how you would deep strike a Moirax, but thanks for the idea, Schwartz.
No. Okay, fine.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no.
Yeah, well, I mean, also,
your defense against getting charged with this thing is, you do know what happens with a Siege Claw, right?
Yeah, and that makes it even better. So what you can even do is you can run your just run your armorers up, and if they're just kind of close to the knight charges in, and then you'd perform a heroic intervention, and now the armorers are in.
Christ! So you're slingshotting your armorers, basically.
You're slingshotting your armorers. Now, this is just one option if you choose this for yourself. Oh. All the other weapons are dirt cheap. So you can go double, for instance, the Volkite weapons and the Lightning Locks are both 5 points each. And again, these guys don't have top weapons. So the for 155 points, you can have 12 shots that are AP minus 2, 1 damage, 36 inch range. And on sixes, they cost 2 additional hits. Or you can have 10 shots that are 2 damage that can do some mortal wounds. So, yeah. Or you can have so I think that in order to be a very much more all-comers list, you can have one of the weapons like a Lightning Lock or a Volkite, and then have the claw anyways, just in case someone gets sassy enough to try to charge you.
I think if you were going to go for the shooty version, this is just my opinion, I think the Pulsar is probably the play.
The Graviton Pulsar, it is good. It is good. It's 20 points range, and it's only D6 shots, which is unfortunate. But when you think about it, I'm really opening up to the Laslocks, because the Laslocks have basically the Necron Tesla. They have the Tesla roll. So,
well,
they're AP minus 2.
Not as good as yours. It's unmodified.
No, they are unmodified now. Oh, no, you're right. They are not unmodified.
Yours isn't unmodified. I've played against you enough times.
Mine are not unmodified.
You get those motherfuckers down to a 4 up, not a 6 up.
That's true. And the Graviton Pulsar, by the way, is also 5 points. So you can do a double Graviton Pulsar if you see fit. The only exception is if you do the conversion beamer, which is also swingy. Graviton and Lightning Lock might be pretty solid.
You're packing 155 point shooty platform that's toughness 7 and 12 wounds. That's better than a fucking Predator. What? Oh my god, that's way better than a Predator.
Actually, you know what? I just changed my mind officially. Cool. Claw, no double Lightning Lock, no double Volkite, whatever. One Graviton Pulsar, and then you keep the Claw. That's 150 points on the nose. They have the close combat ability to be slingshotted in with a normal knight, so they can have some sexy attacks that way. And then if you have a bunch of, say, double Gat Knights or Acheron or other things that are very much, small wound killers, you can use this guy. He's strength 6, which isn't ideal.
Oh my god!
But I mean, yeah, you hit anything that's semi-hardy in close combat, or semi-hardy at range, and you're doing a lot of damage.
I do want to say I want to make one more case for the Graviton Pulsar. You 3-shot the Hemlocks and the Crimson Hunters with it.
Yep. So you can be the if you're a Chaos Knight army, you can use a stratagem where you ignore modifiers.
This is also going to sound very strange. These things are pretty cheap on the Forge World website, considering it's Forge World. They're $60 a pop. I mean, that's money, but still, that's not obscene when considering.
Wow.
Oh, well, that's, I take that back.
That's not only obscene, but, I mean, aren't the armorers normally 50?
It's 80 for 2.
Oh, so they're 4. Holy. No, that's – hey, no. That's not $60 for a Forge World over a – it's a $20 bonus. What did he fucking do?
Hmm.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But, yeah, I mean, I really think the Pulsar is the play here just because of the number of competitive armies and hard counters. Yeah.
I mean, it suffers from the D6 shots, to be honest, but I mean,
yeah, I hear that, but that's why you take two of them. The average on 2D6 is 7. That's pretty decent.
You're talking about a double weapon? No close
combat? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, with 24-inch range, you might as well just give him one close combat weapon.
Okay. I mean, I'm just thinking the pulsars, you know, it's 5 points, dude. Like, you can always remember it's a, you take him as a squad, so you can have one with two claws as kind of the guy up front, and then you have two behind him with the pulsars going, all right, now go ahead and get, you know, try to charge us.
That's true.
That's my point. But I mean, you are always going to want to have the guys with close combat weapons up front tanking the mobs that are going to be charging you, especially orcs or, you know, God forbid, aberrant hordes. Fuck, Gene Stealer cult. But I mean, yeah, and look, it says save characteristics, so it's technically any kind of save better than, or any armor save that's 3+ or better, or...
It's still really good.
No, they don't list invuls on the profile anymore. I was thinking of old... old
I can
rates.
See how each one of them would have their use.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the same price as all the other guns. I don't know. The Volkite one seems kind of superfluous when you have the lightning lock.
That's it. You know what? I take that back. You're right. Actually,
yeah, I agree.
The lightning,
I mean,
if you're going to do dual long
damage,
range, you do dual
still,
long range
so
lightning lock. You can do a
graviton
pulsar
AB1.
With a more siege claw.
I think AB2 is a lot more helpful.
Oh my.
This actually makes the Perceptor a lot more worth it, or the Desecrator for Chaos. You know, both the Perceptor for Loyalists and the Chaos Desecrator, they are they have a similar rule where Armigers or War Dogs reroll ones to hit if they're within 6 inches of them. And you know, the Perceptor, what makes it suck compared to the Desecrator? I mean, neither of their guns are all that great and dandy, but the at least the Desecrator has long range of 60 inches. The Perceptor only has 36 inch range, which further sucks that it's a crappy weapon at short range. So having
that's really
him
cool. That's a good point.
Be the same range as these guys actually makes him helpful. So
he's maybe, I don't know if I'd go that far,
he
but sure.
And everyone's happy. You might actually see Loyalist Perceptors on the table. I mean, I don't know. That might be too much of a controversial statement.
What was, guys, when we were looking at the new Chaos stuff, there was one model. There was one model that was giving anything within 6 inches. There it is. Oh no, never mind. They're demon engines. Never mind. Continue on. I was wondering if it was. if it was Chaos units and you could run like a disc, and since everybody's running Disco Lords already, and you could kind of pack in around the Discordant with, you know, this particular War Dog, you'd fuck some shit up.
Yeah, I noticed.
You checked that before I did.
Three Lord Discos and 3 Gallants is still going to be pretty, like Gallant style spoilers is still going to be pretty fucking hilarious, but it's not going to be like really effective.
I guess the real question is, we should check the math on this one day. Does the bonus damage on the Moirax make up for, make up for it if you were decide to go with that instead of a regular, like a Gallant?
Well, think about it this way. It's cheaper. If you do two, are we talking double close combat or one?
Let's just say one.
There's really no reason to do double unless you want the extra rad cleanser and you want to shave 5 points, and it's only 5 points. So
can I make an argument on that 5 points real quick? What I think they wanted to do with making all of these things 5 points is that if you buy multiple of them, you can shave 5 points off of each, you know, off of the ones you need to tailor them to be specialized. I don't think these are meant to be general duty. I think you're supposed to take a couple of them, because they're so ridiculously cheap and they're supposed to do different things, and you just deploy them where you expect them to be needed.
Well, here's something to chew on. Two of them are 5 points more than any standard knight without any weapons whatsoever, including a stubber. So they, you know, if you look at warglaives and armiger pattern or helverin pattern armigers, they are, the helverins are 172 points without a magic gun.
These things are a lot better.
Yeah, and the warglaives really are I believe 165, I believe. Yeah.
You, Alex, you might be right. The dedicated, I think double claw, if you were to just dedicate, I really think it'd be worth it to take three of them and have one be a double claw to run up the field with a couple of Disco Lords. And then you have two behind them that their job is to just kill anything that deep strikes on you.
Honestly, the more I talk about this, the more I think having one claw and either a Lightning Lock or a Graviton Pulsar, that's probably going to be your best bet. If you are finding your, but this is the thing, they're so flexible with how
cheap their weapon options are. Exactly, there's no point to do general.
If you built your list and then you want like a Iron Storm rocket or something on something, or you want to bring, you know, just five more Plague Bearers or, you know, a lieutenant or something, and you realize that you're accidentally 5 or 10 points over, you just make them build a first combo weapon.
Yeah, we know those 5 points, even 1 point can be tricky for some people.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about them. Well, I mean, you know, plasma
pistols.
This is
pretty cool. I would argue that armigers are going to be the ones.
He said it, not me. All right. Is there anything else we want to go over in the knights? Are they worth? The better question is: are they worth buying? Is what you're getting
buy two?
All
right. Buy two. Don't buy six. you could, it'd be hilarious, but the moment you get into close combat, you remember with the warglaive, the warglaive out of all the armiger types is the best to be, is the worst one to be bolted down with, because the chain sword or the chain glaive can either be like two attacks rather than one, so it can be eight attacks, or it can be the normal four attacks at higher strength. So if you like charge it with an infantry unit to be like, haha, you can't retreat and shoot, it has the ability to at least try to kill a few guys in two turns. All of these other guys, they're actually going to have a pretty hard time if
they'll have a hard time cutting their way out.
So having the protection, so you're basically going to have knights babysit them. You're definitely just going to have them be babysat.
I mean, with that.
Which further reinforces the idea of a preceptor or a, the babysitter knight.
Yeah, I mean, I just was thinking that it would be really cool to see a unit of an army of like maybe, I mean, what if you took three knights and six of these? Could you fit that? It'd be about what? I mean, depending on war gear, I think it's possible. It'd be kind of cool to see like a knight have a personal escort of like three of these marching across the board at you.
You know what? Let me do some math real quick.
See? This is why I mentioned it, because Alex just figured it out.
Okay, so hold on. What's a cheap old knight?
Well, the Build-A-Bear is only three, or the Gallant equivalent is 305. So three of them is 915. Six of these guys is...
It's not 305. It's not 305.
Got to pay for the weapons.
Cast Gallant, 372. Oh. All right, so nine.
Ooh, enough for a freaking IG battalion.
One Rex armiger, so three units of three and one Gallant is 1,677, which will actually.
That's enough. It's enough for
which will actually give you two IG battalions. It's 323 points.
Go forth, my.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dumb list.
Dude, that is such a Godfather list. You just have the one knight running up behind the line, and then the nine of them going forward, and you could just like, you have your hands out over the table with like, go dance puppets.
I mean, if you want to do something different, honestly, here's something that's just hilarious then. Okay. Right. You do six of them instead. That's 870 points. You add a Chaos Gallant, right? That's going to be 372. That's only 1,242 points. That gives you plenty of time, specifically 758 points to do whatever you want. Bring that demon battalion so you can have the contorted epitome who has the gem that can just shut down somebody in close combat while they're being rushed by six of these claws and a gallon.
Yeah.
You know? Or if you want range or whatever. Awesome. And again, that's just a chaos example. You could do that and then just bring like all the Skitarii.
That would be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
All right. Well, we have exhaustively covered the new knights and wishlisted the shit out of them. We ran way over the time I wanted to spend on it. Let's take a look at the Summer Slaughter tournament, attended by every single big name basically in 40K. Let me clarify that. Everyone who didn't go to Slaughterfest was at Summer Slaughter. Your overall champion, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Andrew Gagno. Where did I put that? There we go. Bringing a Knight Crusader to, well, we just mentioned them, two of the Armiger Warglaives, a Shield Captain, a Shield Captain, three Caladius Grav Tanks, they're still undercosted, and then an Emperor's Fist Tank Company Guard Battalion of just a Battle Cannon with double, just one HQ. He only brought one Battle Cannon with two Plasma Cannons.
Yeah,
and then four squads of guardsmen. That's it.
Daka, 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 daka.
God, that's so much shooting. That's a lot. Like, you're just throwing.
Daka, daka,
yeah,
daka,
I mean,
daka,
the blowdown on this Crusader, it was 500 points. Gatling Cannon, Battle Cannon, two Stubbers, and the Icarus Auto Cannon. And then you've got the two Armigers running up the field and with the Shield Captain just to try to piss people off. Four squads of guardsmen to hold objectives and the tank commander to punch things in the face really hard because he's running the Hammer of Sundrance, which, for those who remember, is the combo that Reese was talking about. Yes, it is. We want to mention that TJ Lanigan did come in second place, but we won't mention anything else because he didn't change his list at all.
Let's see. What did he bring?
Nope. Nick Nativati brought Tau, which shocked the shit out of everybody. Maybe he did it on a dare. He brought two battalions and a vanguard. Double Cold Star with ATS and what gun is MP? Oh, is that... Missile pod. So that's strength 7 minus two AP damage 2, correct? With the ATS. So it's an upgraded auto cannon, which is pretty cool on a Cold Star. Then Dark Strider, two strike squad with shield drones, and the three strike squad with shield drones, two marker lights, then 20 shield drones, three Riptides. Another Cold Star and Cadre Fireblade and three Firesight Marksmen.
This was definitely out there.
So he just built a cool little bunker for his strike squads and then flew Cold Stars all over the place shooting missiles at everybody. I have to agree. Oh, Alex, your friend Chad was there, but he didn't upload his list. Kick him in the...
Oh, man. I literally just sent him a message in a competitive...
Kick him in the shins for that.
Like, I'm going to tell him to listen because I literally just sent him a message as I saw this. And I just zoomed in and circled the gray little box. And then I zoomed in on the box. And then I zoomed in on the box a second time. He's well aware that, like, he'll look at his phone screen and he'll just see, like, a giant pixelated version of the
clipboard.
I was just like, what kind of peasant move is this?
Enhance.
Oh my god.
Oh, you're such a tease.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But you know what? I can tell you what his list was because everyone's talking about it now. I'm not going to tell you his list because it's the same list that every Necron player. Okay, you know what? So this has been mentioned in a few other podcasts, a few other articles. So our listeners who are well aware of other podcasts out there, other, websites that talk about
such other people do not exist.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, I was gonna say. Really, Necrons are somehow doing well again, right? And I hold on, by no part of me, because I'm just not playing a lot right now. I'm actually building a lot of 40K, but I'm not actually playing it because it's in pieces and I'm slow to build it. But I'm going to be borrowing some soon, some knights, because I got a buddy with like a million of them. But with Necrons, I think it's just that they were so overlooked that now they just come out of left field with the same stuff they've had since their codex.
Oh, and people
are just like, oh, what? You know, because the meta has changed like 12 times since then. And, you know, everything comes back. You know, bell bottoms are back, baby. Doom scythes are running it, right?
Well, we wouldn't know. We can't see it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can tell you right now, it is three Doom Scythes, three Doomsday Arcs, Emotech, a bunch of Immortals, and some number of Tomb Blades. That's the list. Yeah, sometimes you can throw in Scarabs or maybe a unit of Destroyers instead of a unit of Tomb Blades, but that is like the standard. That is what has been winning. That is what you know, my friend Antonio has been running. That is what my friend Chad has been running, you know, or our friend Chad. You know, that is what a lot of people have been seeing some success in. So it's, I can tell you the list right now, it's something loosely based around what I just
sounds good. We'll talk about, let's talk about Mr. Lewis Stahlberg of the Steel City Legion. What do we got bringing, full Adeptus Mechanicus? It looks like, bringing out all your favorite toys, Tech Priest Dominus, the Tech Priest Engine Seer, 2x10 Vanguard, 2x5 Rangers, and then two of the Terax pattern assault drills. Then Belisarius Call, an engine seer, 3x5 Rangers with sniper rifles because they are awesome.
Disintegrators.
A 10-man brick of Sakaaran infiltrators. I know what was in the Terax patterns now. And then three Scorpius infiltrators and three Onager Doomcrawlers. Scorpius Disintegrators and three Onager Doomcrawlers. Because why only bring one when you can bring both?
I mean, just the Icarus Array, but the fact that like you can now take the Belarus Energy Cannon and the Disintegrators means that you can pack both too. And you're just covering all your bases. The energy cannon, I can pull it up.
I don't think we talked about the energy cannon last week. We were talking about the other gun.
Like, play some sort of Zelda music for the next 10 seconds. Oh, well, fair point.
I'll just bastard. Or I just edit it. I got it before he did. The Bolero's Energy Cannon, range 36, heavy 3d3, strike 6, minus 1, AP, damage 2, and it can target units that are not visible. So that does give a or otherwise fairly standard Adeptus Mechanicus army the ability to hit things hiding behind those pesky ITC boxes. Or inside the pesky ITC boxes.
Shame.
Let's see. We did. Well, we can't talk about Chad. Justin Cook didn't upload his list either. Shame. Michael Einer, who I believe won a tournament last, or came very high in a tournament last weekend, brought his Tau Empire out again with pretty much it's the exact same thing. So I'll edit that out. Anything else here jumps out? Daniel Wolmuth in fifth with guard. I actually kind of want to see. Yes, somebody else brings Scions. I'm happy. Katashin, this is the moment I've been waiting for. He brought a Katashin battalion with the Emperor's Fist tank company, and he brought Strachan. Yes, another Katashin battalion just for the minima, just to stack up those CP. And then here's where all the points went: a Cadian battalion with Pask and an Executioner, and then two Punisher Gatling tanks with Laz cannons. Then a whole bunch of you brought a Wyvern, mortar squad, so 3x3, a Tech Priest to hit things with a hammer, and then one squad of regular guardsmen and 2x5 Scions, which is not how I want them used. So I'm not happy about that. But yeah, so Acadian battalion with Pask, and then enormous. Two other Limitless tank commanders. That's called everyone's hitting on twos, the list. because that's what's going to happen. Is you hit something with Pask, he probably kills something. That's why he's got the Executioner. You've got a Tech Priest behind him hitting him with a hammer so he doesn't burn himself to death. And then whatever he wounds, you go overlapping Fields of Fire, which is my favorite stratagem in Guard. And then all of your tanks are all of your Lehman Russes are hitting on twos or threes if they have a minus one. And if you ordered them with Pask because you're smart, they're re-rolling ones to hit. Ladies and gentlemen, the proper way to play Imperial Guard. But that's I'm just leaving that there. I don't know why he had the Catashin. I think maybe this is no, it's Catashin. For some reason, he made the Catashin Battalion his tank company instead of making the Cadians.
Wait, can you repeat?
And just moving the Wyvern to the artillery company. That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, he's got a he's got his armored company on a he did it to give the single tank commander the battle cannon and the hammer of Sundrance. All right, I see it. Never mind. You do, Daniel. You know what you're doing. Sorry, that was me going really into my new show on Guard just because that list is pretty much exactly how I like I play Guard. All the tanks, except for I don't bring Bulgrins because I don't have any Bulgrins because they're expensive. Alex, you got anything on this one?
No, I think you guys covered this one. I mean, it's cool to see
everybody all revving up for I don't know how many EP of these guys are on the ETC, actually. I would bet any amount of money Ganyo's on the team. All right, but I'll edit that out if I'm wrong. Moving over to Slaughterfest. No, it's not the same tournament. Where is it? That'll be nice. Come on. Thank you very much. Insert break for editing. You don't get to make fun of me, Schwartz. You're slow. All right. There we go. It was in Temecula. Very cool. So if you ever want to talk shit about 40K and rap combined, meet me in Temecula at the Slaughterfest. Richard Kozart in first with Chaos. Let's find out what type it is and how many Disco Lords he brought. There they are. All the way at the end, Specialist detachment. There it is. The Soul Forge pack with the triple Disco Lord spearhead.
Yeah, the Slaanesh detached battalion is pretty good because the contorted epitome is really good and the mask.
What in the world? He brought 50 demonettes.
It's a really good combo. I mean, it's a really good battalion right there.
Yeah. Then a whole bunch of Zangors, a nice 24 block of Zangors.
With all those bolters, you can get
a bunch of Bikers
times.
Of Slaanesh.
So that's a lot of DACA coming out because they're combi bolters on bikes, right? So they're going to be shooting 4 shots per bike.
Okay, there you go.
And then you get them to shoot twice. That ain't bad. I buy a dot for a dollar.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to wonder if there's you guys probably know this better than I do. Is there some kind of stratagem that would apply to them since they're Black Legion? That would assist them with shooting?
I mean, there's still going to be that. You get the variety of things.
It throws out a ton of DACA.
I think that this is just meant to be exactly what you see, just front and center. It's a harassing unit. It's fast. It screws with you. It's Marcus Slaanesh.
Yeah, I mean, plus, you've got you have your own version of a screen against. I don't know who would deep strike against this, but in case you did, you've got cultists, you've got the Zangors, you deep strike right into the contorted epitome and the mask. Yeah, so great idea there. And then once you hit the wall, then the Disco Lords come out and punch you in the face. So
some difference in the meta. Huzzah!
Hey, you spend points on the autocannon, which is not normal. I don't think it counts, man. Skynet himself, Brandon Grant, coming in second place with the Imperial Guard. full on. I'll give it to you this time, Schwartz. A Katachan Emperor's Blade Assault Company, because that's how you play Katachans. Double heavy flamer chimeras with three squads of guardsmen jumping out with Strachan behind them. And it's the Emperor's Blade, meaning that they are three attacks each at strength four, rerolling ones to hit. And that's before you use any stratagems on them. Then another Katachan Emperor's Fist Tank Company. So somebody was carrying the Hammer of Sundrance with another 30 guardsmen in it. And then an Emperor's Wrath Artillery Company with the Wyvern. I like the Basilisk, but I get it. And then the big block of Bulgrins. Why not? There's five tank commanders in this list.
I brought
them
for the GT this weekend, and they're money. Four. I know I said that already, man, but like I didn't believe this.
I feel like every episode or every other episode we're talking about Lehman Russ's.
Wait, screw you. I played the first three games. Ouch.
For like the 12 minutes that you played.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't come in last. That's what matters.
He got in half the event. Listen, that's enough to show. That's the high standards we set on this podcast, folks.
You miss 100% of the Gretzky, shots you don't take. That's a Michael Scott quote.
It's a Wayne Gretzky quote. I watch any of these shows. Kenny Boucher of the Long War fame showing out with his own chaos. We want to give a shout out to him. I know Alex is going to hate me saying that. Double Knight Dis. Oh, you know what? It matters because he brought the spoilers. He brought the new stuff. Double Gat Knight. Ooh. And a double Battle Cannon Knight. Then a regular War Dog with the two auto cannons. So a Helverin. A Red Corsair Battalion. Okay, talk.
Oh, there's a reason for that. So, Red Corsairs, not only is their kind of chapter tactic run and charge, which is all fine and dandy, but if you have a battalion, or no matter what your detachment is, if there are at least three units of Chaos Space Marines, not Chaos Space Marine keyword, but Chaos Space Marine, tactical marines, but with spikes on them. If you have at least three units in your detachment, you get three extra command points to your detachment, meaning that battalions that are, say, the cheapest characters, which is like a Warp Priest or Lord Executioner, and then you use three units of just five-man Marine squads, that is a battalion that is eight command points.
Well, that's exactly what he did. I mean, he brought a Sorcerer with Warp Time and a Warp Smith, and that was it. And then, of course, there's the necessary Soulforged pack of three Lord Discordants. Yeah, I mean, don't leave home without them, folks. I actually really like that list. That it does fill one of the major problems of the Lord Disc of the Disco lists, where you're really short of command points. And then he also brought, because he brought a full super heavy detachment, he picked up three more. So that's what I mean. Is that 13 command points minus?
Yeah, I think it's minus one for the Soul Forge and
minus two for the Soul Forge pack.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
That's pretty good for like a 30 model list.
Hey, can we talk? Oh,
no, jump in. I'll delete that shit.
I actually wanted to move on and talk about our good friend Tony Myers.
Oh, Tony was here.
Tony Myers, yeah, he went 4-2. He had Eldar. You know, last time I saw him in a tournament, it was the silliest of lists with Revenant Titan and a Wraith Knight and five Wraith Guard, and that was his list. this one is all about Dark Eldar detachment with Cabal of the Blackheart, with three Ravengers, two Venoms. You know, he had a Yunari one with Yunkarn and an Archon and a bunch of witches and warriors. He then had Urien Rakarth in a Ducati detachment.
Prophets of Flesh battalion.
With a bunch of racks.
And five Talos.
And five Talos, yes.
Oh, is that six or... No, it's five. Yeah, it is.
Five. It's five.
It's five. Then three Ravagers and no Flyers.
Yeah, hard mode.
God, that's nice to see. Yeah, just the three Disintegrator Ravagers, which is the ghetto equivalent of three of, what are they called, Razor Wings.
Is your good friend Frankie's army?
The best 40K, is it the handsomest 40K player in the world or the best 40K player in the world? What's his tag on Frontline? I always forget. Brought out the Gene Stealer Cult, a Jackal Alphys, don't see that very often, Patriarch, 3x10 Brood Brothers, oh my god, 3x5, no, I'm sorry, no, that's 33 Adeline Jackals. That's 33 of the bike, guys. That's insanity. 30 more Brood Brothers, another, yeah, double Patriarch, because you have to. Then a Cult of the Four-Armed Emperor, Brood Surge, which I think we know what that's going to be. Yeah, all the more Acolytes. That's so, yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love the 33 bikes. I love 33. I love everything about that. The only way that would have been better is if they all had demolition charges. Of course, there's no way he could afford that, I don't think.
There's a lot to consider.
This is just saturation. This is a really interesting form of unit saturation, where anything that you don't decide to put a blip on this on the board, you just deploy the bikes and then run, like, explode forward if you want to, and you're basically, your whole army's literally, your whole army is in their face turn two.
Yeah,
and then the Brood Brothers to just stand around and die, which is about what, you know, they do. What in the world does the Rusted Claw do? I have never heard of that. You guys, off the top of your head?
No, I'm drawing a blank.
Okay, Gene Stealer Colt, Rusted Claw. There we go. Okay, add one to advance and charge rolls for units with this Colt. Oh no, that's Colt of the Four-Armed Emperor. Wrong one. Where are you? Come on. No, that's the Rusted Claw. Here we go. They don't have their rules. Okay, never mind. I give up. No, I kind of want to know. Guys, help me out here. Schwartz, Google mode.
In the meantime, let's talk about Reese Robbins' list. He, you know, go ahead. Our, you know, he did good. He did well.
You're doing good, pig.
He did great. I think he might have been busy because I see that he might have only played 5 rounds. I need to double check that. Ooh, yeah, wow. Only 5 rounds. But he brought demons, a lot of blood letters, cultists, Abaddon, a demon prince, a war dog.
Oh, he brought a new Abby?
He brought a new Abby, yeah. Man, everyone was here.
Vince, I got it for you.
Peter Kelly. Yeah, Steve Sis came out of retirement.
I got a local up here, Tanner, who showed up. You know, a lot of people showed up. So
Pablo played. Pablo Martinez.
Yeah.
I just found it, too. So the Rusted Claw, when making armor saves, and this is, I guess, for everything, add one to the result of your save if the weapon has an AP of 0 or -1. So that actually does make your regular infantry really survivable against garbage shooting, especially in cover. In addition, biker models with this creed do not suffer penalties for moving and shooting with heavy weapons. So that would be good. I think I saw he had mining lasers on them. And then they also do not suffer a penalty for advancing and firing assault weapons. Yeah. So not only are they probably a little extra, they are, you know, tougher than normal with that +1 to save, but they're also much more efficient shooting. And like we said, there's 33 of them.
Wow.
And they're fast as shit. I like that list. That's a Frankie list for sure. But Alex, go ahead and keep going with the Reese Robbins Chaos Special.
Oh, I mean, that was I was just looking at you guys for the rest.
Okay.
I just thought it was funny. I mean, like, he wasn't able to complete the full tournament. Busy guy, I'm sure.
He played 5 games.
Yeah, 5 games out of 6. I mean, so he didn't complete the tournament, but I'm sure he had plenty of other stuff to do.
It is interesting to see if he brought Karanak just to buff the blood letters. Is that exactly what he's for? The Hound of Vengeance HQ.
Can't he deny?
Oh, he's got the collar, the brass collar or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty good. It is the brass collar, right? I'm not wrong in the name or close at all.
Brass collar, collar, corn, some shit like that.
All right, and there's 56 blood. Fuck. That's three blood letter bombs. Then Abaddon giving everybody the reroll hits, an exalted champion, probably just, you know, to have another choppy close combat model. Two war dogs and a double rapid fire battle cannon knight despoiler. And there you go. Oh, and a corn demon prince. It looks like a corn demon prince.
Okay.
Seems legit. Apparently it didn't do very well. I'm sorry. He had a rough weekend, our good friend Reese did with that list. So have a feeling that one might have been for the memes, especially when you see somebody taking Karanak.
Yeah, for the memes.
You know, for the Pope, for the one time. Or any other, for the Vine, I think it's probably the last time anybody used it. Let's go ahead and talk about the one that happened in our very own backyard, the GK Open, run by our podcast mate and good friend, John Fearhelm. I do love the 1-2 on this is fantastic. I would like to check the story behind it. Jonathan Blake taking Eldar 1 with Team Bridger Sucks. The second place is Bridger Han.
Yeah, he's a big fan of Grotesque. Actually, I was at this event.
Jonathan Blake took out Brian Poland
in round one.
Eldar Flyers with a whole... Oh my god, that's so many Grotesques.
Yeah, I know. He's a great player. I was actually at the table next to it, so I was keeping an eye out for
Eldar's, that. Eldar's Tau probably have a very serious problem with that much feel no pain. Yeah. And I mean,
I gotta say, I love how there's a team that just says Bridger sucks.
Yeah. I think we
literally just went over this, but I love this so much.
Second place going to, as we said, Bridger Han with Adeptus Custodes, and it is pure Custodes. Shield Captain, 8 more jet bikes, a Palace Grav tank. Inquisitor or operative requisition, so he brought an assassin, Constantine Valdor, and then 3 Caladius grav tanks.
Ooh,
it's jet bikes and grav tanks, the two most efficient units that codex has. Our old friend Vince Wybert, one of my favorite people in 40K, bringing out the bugs. Hive Tyrant, 36 Gene Stealers. 30 Hormagaunts, a Venomthrope out of nowhere, another Hive Tyrant, Ripper Swarms, Termagaunts, 6 Hive Guard, and Biovores, because Vince never does anything halfway.
Vince, I actually played him round one. It was an amazing game.
Talk.
I have a truck ton of shooting, but I misdeployed, so all of a sudden I had a truck ton of Gene Stealers in my face round one, top turn one. It was felt very much like Starship Troopers, because I was running a ton of IG. And he was just sending wave and waves of the bugs. He ended up beating me 25-16, if memory serves me correct. It was a great game. He's like an incredible guy to play against. It's very strange.
He's one of my favorite people in 40K.
He's such a nice guy. I was getting destroyed in the last couple, because I kept it close the first couple of turns, but I was getting wrecked the last couple of turns. And I was like, I'm still enjoying this game, even though I'm getting pounded. This is a very strange feeling.
Also, guys,
yes, sir.
He brought Old One Eye.
Oh, I know. Old One Eye is good when it connects. He took out my Pask, actually. Just went straight into
the original distraction Carnifex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Old One. It's a good list, man. He knows how to run it well.
I do love this because he brought 3 different I think he planned for going second, I think, because he brought through all 3 of his troop units were things that could benefit very heavily from the Swarm Lord just throwing them at you.
Yeah, I mean, also, he has the ability just to advance and charge, and with Kraken, he's advancing on 3 dice and then picking the highest.
Right, right. That's That's my point. I mean, if you decide that all you want to do is liquidate the Gene Stealers and the Hormigaunts, he's got the Venanthropes there to make you, you know, very inefficient. And then whichever unit basically has the most left, he just puts into the back of a catapult and throws it 30 inches at you.
Yeah, no, it's a very good list. He went 5-1 with this list of BAO. So, and he's got a lot of experience.
He has been playing Tyranids for as long as I've known him, and he's very good with them. Dom was there. Member of the Corsairs, Dom Mitrovich, married to Elizabeth, or for those who know her, Liz, bringing Tau.
Oh, he brought a special type of Tau, because check out the bottom one.
I am looking now. We're looking at a Cold Star Commander, two Ethereals. Oh my god, he brought Crew Carnivores.
No. Keep going.
Oh no, I'm looking at 2x3 stealth suits, which is not abnormal. 2x10 shield drones. Oh my god, he brought the Taunar.
And guess what? So Israel, who's also a former Corsair, also brought his Taunar, and they played each other round two. It was two Taunar action.
Real quick, can I interject and talk about a funny story that is very relevant to this?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Broadside Bass, you know, from Kingdom Come, RIP. It is in San Diego, and you know, I wasn't able to go last year. Apparently, it was the last Kingdom Con, but it may not be the last Broadside Bash. English. But
you can do it.
Several years ago, well into I think either 6th or 7th edition. It was right when the Storm Surge came out, so I think it was 7th edition. I was there. I was playing my Krons. I was doing all right, and I saw that Carmona and Frankie got matched up with each other round one, and they both had Tau armies.
I remember this story.
Lots of shooting, and they had like several Riptides and at least one Storm Surge, and it was just kooky. And you know, I'm playing my game. It was a really fun game. I get done. I look over. I'm hearing lots of laughter. I'm hearing lots of yelling, and I come by the table afterwards. Turns out, I think it was like turn one, I think Frankie tabled Carmona in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, game's over. And so I think they agreed. They were like, hey, best 2 out of 3.
I do remember this exact story.
3 games of 40K at a standard time. And I think it was like Frankie might have won, but I think he ended up losing to 2 out of 3.
Yeah, he did. He lost back to back and was like, well, I'm glad I won the one that counted.
Dude, you got 3 games in.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's ridiculous. Yeah, no. The Taunar on Taunar action was a little insane. It's realistically what it was is just them slowly killing all their freaking shield drones around that thing with very overpowered guns.
Yeah. Because the Taunars can't really like scratch each other.
Well, no, not really. I mean, and realistically, they're both packing a ton of shield drones to protect the Taunar. So
yeah, I mean, there's 20 shield drones each, I think I checked.
Yeah, and the hilarity of it all is the Taunar is packing a ton of shooting, but it's like a lot of high damage shooting.
Yeah.
It's just like hilarious because it's just going, and I'm firing your ultra mega cannon to kill 3 drones.
Yeah.
And the other Taunar, I'm firing my 10 mega melta cannon to kill 4 drones. And it was just like it was like that for 6 rounds.
I love it.
That's pretty good. I have to say, I think that's pretty dope. But all right, I'm kind of sad I did miss this now.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah. Vince, if it's an event in the Bay Area, you know we don't have to rehash this.
No, we really don't.
You know.
If you don't know, now you know. All right. Well. Anything else from the GK Open? You know what we should do? Let's have John on. Let's try to have John on next week to talk about it.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd love that.
We should have thought about that before starting the show, but we're stupid. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and sign off. And Schwartz, any regrets from missing the second day of the event?
Yeah, I do because I finished like 35th. So I finished. Yeah, I've never gone 1 and 2 in an event before, so I got to make up for it.
It's okay. It happens to everyone else.
I know. Well, it's I was rusty. Plus, I played Vince round one with his like 180 gene stealers.
It's only 56 gene stealers.
Okay, but then I played this guy named Lucas who had a total of 210 orc models. You want to know something funny? I tabled him and I still lost 29-27.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, like I tabled him round six. By then he had been, and it's mission number two. So he had all the bodies to hold the center objective, and I was just in a corner trying to kill as many orcs as physically possible in one.
That is hilarious.
And he was just like, keep coming.
That as it. Schwartz, welcome to being a career guard player, where a lot of times all you can do is castle in the corner and hope nothing gets within 12.
I mean, no, you don't understand. It was ridiculous. So Schwartz,
how do I not understand what it's like fighting orcs?
Okay, fair point. How about this? I had Devastators, a Devastator Battalion.
Good idea for that.
At the end, the only thing I had left was two Wervins, a Basilisk, and some Devastators, so I had to charge into Devastators to kill the last Orc boys. And he was like, well, you're going to need a miracle to table me. I tabled him. It was a miracle. The Devastators took out the Orc boys in close combat, and then the Basilisk took out everything else in some epic shooting.
Yep. And we do. Just remember, just because they're the guys that hide in the back, they are still Space Marines.
Yeah, no, there were, that's when I remember there were Space Marines. I was like, oh, yeah, this is not bad.
And on that note, let's go ahead and call it for the night, guys. Schwartz, Alex, go ahead and sign off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Talk to you next time.
And we will talk to everyone next week. Please do like us on Podbean. Check out our Facebook page and tell your friends. Have a good one.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.